you have your Bibles, let's open them please for a moment to our text, Matthew 27, and looking down into verse number 60 tonight. Matthew 27 and verse number 60, a little bit of an introduction, then a brief message. And if you're a mother, friend, daughter, lady, teenage girl, you can sign up tonight for the mother-daughter friend banquet just right after the service. So here we are. Let's look at this, please. Matthew 27, and we're going to look down in verse number 59. And I hope you'll underline a couple things tonight. Just never really spoke on this subject before on Easter night. But notice what it says, please. Matthew 27, verse 59. We're going to jump right in. The crucifixion is over. Matthew 27, 59. And when Joseph had taken the body, this is Joseph of Arimathea, three Josephs in the Bible, Old Testament, then the stepdad of Jesus, and then this is a different Joseph, said he took the body, taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And if you're Catholic, that's when the Shroud of Turin was started. No, I'm just kidding. They have this piece of material they think was on his face, and it's this never mind. Forget the whole thing. All right, go back to eating chocolate. Okay, so Matthew 27, 60. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone. Here's the two words. To the door of the sepulcher and departed. Kind of interesting verse there, huh? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Go to Tula Cay Cemetery. Go to Treadway and Wigger over there off of Sosco. See if there's any tombs that have doors. 6 feet under, there's mausoleum, things are sealed, but no doors. Why? No one's coming out. No one's going in. But right here it says there was a door to Jesus' sepulcher. Isn't that amazing? One time in Scripture, it's right there. He had a door on it. Why? He was coming out. It was just a temporary thing. And I like the song the guy sang. By the way, Brother Ron, the second song, you looked so much younger. Man, just all of a sudden. I don't know if, you know, you ate some Cheerios or Wheaties or something. Man, you had dark hair. And there you were, singing with the group again. It was great. And now he's back to the old man. And so the Bible talks about you in the Bible, the old man. Okay, so. But it says the door of the sepulcher. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's what separates Christianity from all world religions. Our Savior's sepulcher has a door, and he used it. And it's great because he is the door as well. I want to speak on this subject for a few moments, the unrecognizable resurrected Savior. It's something about Jesus after the resurrection that was a little bit strange. We want to look at these passages. We never preach from them, but look at this just by way of introduction for a moment. In Matthew 16, if you will, Matthew 16, and you say, well, Pastor, you ever thought of this? As you find in Matthew 16, why were the disciples so sad? Jesus told them he was going to do what? Starts with the letter D. Die and then be buried and then rise again. So why were they so sad? He told them, I'm going to rise again, but they were still like, it's the end of the road. How come they did not camp around the tomb and say, 3 days, he's going to be coming out. Man, I want to be here when it happens. They didn't do that. You know why? It went in one ear and it went out the other ear. That's why we know they were Baptists. That's the mark of a Baptist. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Look here in Matthew 16 for a moment, in verse number 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's telling his disciples, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried. 3 days later, I'm rising from the dead. Verse 22, his top disciple. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So Peter says, this isn't going to happen. No wonder they were so shocked. They didn't believe Jesus was going to be crucified, much less rise from the dead. Verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So somehow he told them, but they didn't get it. You ever say that to somebody? You just don't get it. That's normal words in a marriage. And it's usually the woman telling the husband, you just don't get it. Oh, okay. Okay. Forget it. Just, you know, it's not a marriage sermon tonight. And then if you'll look down in chapter 24 for a moment, Matthew 24, I want you to see this for a second. And we're going somewhere with it. I think it'll help us. Matthew 24, verse 3. Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They were saying, when is your kingdom coming? When are you setting up your kingdom to be the king and conquer Rome and set us free and rule Israel? That's what they're saying. You ever heard the Lord's Prayer? You ever pray this? Thy kingdom come. So that's what the disciples thought. Jesus was coming to set up his kingdom, not to be crucified. That's why they were so shocked. Look at this. Just a little bit further here in John chapter number 12. John chapter 12. And that's why there's so much confusion. That's why they were so discouraged. That's why they were so depressed. It's like, what in the world? How did this happen? We never saw this coming. John chapter 12. And looking down, please, for a moment in verse number 12. John 12, 12, before the Lord's Supper, of course. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches and palm trees. That's why we call the Sunday before Easter Palm Sunday. And went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is, notice what they're calling him, the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. They're saying, we have a king now. It's not Caesar. Pilate's not going to rule. Hey, we have a king that's going to set us free. True, but wrong time. He'll come back as King of Kings. The first time he came to be the Savior. Second time he comes back as the king. And that's why Jesus said to Pilate, Pilate said, art thou a king then? He said, I am, but not of this world. And if I was coming to set up my kingdom, my servants would fight. In other words, he was saying, not the right time. Look at this. And it says, verse 14, Jesus, when he found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's coat. That's prophecy. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered that these things were written of him, and that he had done these things unto them. They got it, but it was later. You follow? You remember this one? Zebedee's wife came to Jesus and said, I need a favor. And Jesus says, what do you want? I got these two sons, they're your disciples, James and John. Can you have one sit on your right hand and one sit on your left hand in your kingdom? You remember reading that in the Bible? They thought that he was setting up his kingdom right then. And she wanted to make sure they got two good positions. What do you think right and left hand would be? Supreme Court justices? Would it be, I mean, if you're the king, prime minister? I mean, they don't have assistant kings. What do they have?
Queens.
I don't think the disciples wanted to be queens. Unbelievable. It's terrible. And so that's what they were thinking. You remember this one? At the Last Supper. Two of the disciples are arguing. It said they were arguing who would be the greatest. You remember that? What they were saying was, who's going to have the greatest position when he sets up his kingdom? That's why there was all this dreariness around Easter. It wasn't, hey, He died on the cross. It's okay, though. 3 days later, he is rising. None of them said that. They were just dumbfounded, gut punched. It was like, what? They thought he was setting up his kingdom. You kind of follow? So that's why there was the sadness and the weeping and the finality. And man, we thought he was, so with that in mind, Jesus makes four appearances. I want you to just see it. It's very touching. To four different groups. And just want you to see it just for a moment, because each appearance was a lesson. Notice here, please, the first, he appeared to Mary. In John chapter number 20, if you would, please. John chapter 20. There are many Marys mentioned in Scripture. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. It is not Mary, Cleopas's wife. It is not Mary, the sister of one of the other women. It's Mary Magdalene. There is a place, last trip to Israel, we went to a place called Magdala. And it was where Mary Magdalene grew up. They had all these excavations and they had seen writing. Somehow they knew that's where she grew up. Mary Magdalene, you remember the story? She was the one that Jesus cast seven devils out of. Seven is the number of completion. It meant she was completely possessed of the devil. Most women aren't. Most are about half possessed. And look, some men can't even ask permission to smile. But seven devils had moved into her. How does a devil come into someone? Bitterness is always an open door for demonic oppression and possession. Lies, they believe a lie. No one loves me. God doesn't love me. I was born this way. I was made this way. Nobody cares. No one would miss me if I ended my life. And then the occult. Anytime people mess with drugs or they mess with mind-altering things where it puts their mind in neutral, or they mess with occultic practices, the seances and the Ouija boards and all these things that would go with that. Any of those three would help open the door there. So she's possessed, but the Bible says she met Jesus and he cast them all out. Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. He cannot dwell in the same body as those devils. When Jesus comes in, they go out. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus trumps the devil any day of the week. And so here's a woman. People have probably given up on her. I'm sure she was violent. I'm sure she was an angry woman. I'm sure she was an evil woman. People on Hollywood try to paint her as a very immoral woman. We don't know about that. But we know this. She was controlled by the devil, and now she's controlled by Jesus Christ. What a Savior. He can take any life and clean it up. He can take a dirty life and make it clean. He can take a life that's at the end of the road and give it new hope and new direction. And that's what he did for her. So notice here his appearance. First person that sees him on the first Easter morning, it's Mary. John chapter 20, look down please in verse number 13. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 11, she's at the tomb. John 20, 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. He wasn't there. They say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord. I know not where they have laid him. Notice what she didn't. She didn't say the Lord. She said my Lord. Everything about Mary Magdalene is very tender. She's the one that when Jesus was at Lazarus' house, she anoints Jesus' feet with the ointment and wipes his feet with her tears and wipes his feet with her hair. She loves him deeply. She is giving a lot of money, this ointment. She anointed him before the burial. She had been listening. She believed he was going to die. She was anointing him. I wonder if she anointed him with enough ointment that when Jesus took a deep breath, he still smelled some of it on him. The Bible says, whom is forgiven much, loveth much. I've seen through the years, it just seems like the people that love Jesus Christ the most are those who were saved out of a terrible life of sin. They knew what they were, they knew where they should go, they knew where they belonged, and then they knew the grace of God that reached way down to pull them up and change their life. When you're forgiven much, it seems like you just love much. And let me encourage, maybe you're second or third generation Christian. You've never been drunk, never been in jail, never gotten high, never did a lot of certain things. You're raised in church and you were saved from sin. And the other generation was saved out of sin. But either one, it took the same blood of Christ to save you. And we ought to all love him with all of our heart. So notice what it says in verse number 14. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus and knew not that it was Jesus, unrecognizable. She saw him first before anybody, but she didn't know it was him. I don't know if God did something to her eyes. I don't know if Jesus was transformed and just looked different. I don't know if his face went kind of all fuzzy or, I don't know. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Who you looking for? Why are you crying? Let me just remind you tonight on Easter evening, God cares. And God notices. He's seeing a woman weeping, and God is asking a question. He didn't just give her a sermon. He didn't say, why did you guys run away? He didn't say that. Why didn't you stay at my... He just said, why are you weeping? I guarantee you there's been tears in our church shed this week. Some of you have wept because of a broken heart. Some of you have wept this week because of a loved one that you miss that's in heaven now. Some of you have wept because of tough decisions you've had to make. Some of you have wept because maybe you're just homesick for heaven. You're tired of this earth life and it'd be great just to leave and go up. I know Mary's wept this week because I heard her and I caught her tears. I know that couple sitting here wept because they wept in my office. God sees every tear. Notice what he said. Woman, why weepest thou? And woman's not a harsh term. It means dear lady. Whom seekest thou? And I love that. Look at this. Jesus is disguised. She's supposing him to be the gardener. Did he have a rake in his hand? I don't know. Maybe he was in the garden. She just figured he took care of it. She supposing him to be the gardener said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, just tell me where thou hast laid him and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He knew her name and he knows your name and he knows my name. Mary. I'm sure he had called her name before. Immediately, she says, Rabboni, which is to say, master. I just love it. Mary's the one that worshiped Jesus. He meant everything to her. She loved him with all of her heart. Lesson number one, the first appearance is this. God wants us to worship him. That doesn't mean you have to hold your hands up, but that's a good start. When you hold your hands up, your head goes up. Now you're looking up at the one you need to speak to. God gets certain worship. It means worth something. Ascribe worth to. He just wants us this Easter week to spend time with him and tell him how great he is. He just wants to know we're glad he's a risen Savior. And we're glad he took our payment. And we're glad he's coming back. And we're glad he's the Savior. Mary, he asked her a question. Seven demons, forgiven. He called her by name. He knew all about her and still loved her. Number two, I want you to see the second appearance. In Luke chapter number 24 for just a moment. Luke chapter 24. And this is two people. And they're actually walking in between towns. They're walking down a road to a little town called Emmaus. They don't know exactly where it is now. In modern day history, they have some speculation. But look at this. Won't you just see it for a second? And if you can't find it, that's fine. But Luke chapter 24, it starts off. It says, now upon the very, the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, several miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So here's what they're talking about. You think Pilate should have let Barabbas out? How did that mob assemble so fast? How come we couldn't rescue Jesus? How come they arrested him at night? They're talking about everything. Is it true? Judas, the famous disciple, killed himself? I mean, they're talking about all these things that have taken place. What happened to his body? How can anyone take his body? The soldiers say, the disciples. So they're talking about a lot of things. Verse 15, it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Look at this. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. I don't know why the Lord did this, but he just did this on several appearances. So here's two disciples. They're walking. They're talking. Out of nowhere, Jesus just joins the group. They didn't ask, where'd you come from? He just appeared. He's part of the crowd. Notice what it says, verse 17. And he said unto them, notice again, a question. Every appearance, Jesus asked a question. He's interested in them. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk? And look at these three words, and are sad. If anyone should have been sad, it was Jesus. Hey, where's my disciples? They forsook me and fled. I was crucified. Nope. He said, why are you sad? He cared enough to ask about what was weighing them down. You ever been sad? Hey, teenagers, final exams are coming up. You ever been sad? You wish you would have studied or cheated off the right person. No, I'm kidding about that. But notice what he says here. Verse 18, and one of them whose name was Cleopas, who is this guy? You study it later on. His wife was at the cross. Cleopas, his wife, was one of the women with Mary at the cross. And with Mary Magdalene, who was at the cross. So this Cleopas guy must have been pretty close to the Lord. He must have been pretty involved in church meetings and Christianity. His wife was at the cross. These guys are speaking. Here's what they said, verse 18 to Jesus. Art thou only a stranger? Are you just passing through town? In Jerusalem, hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? You haven't heard? Are you like new? Verse 19, he said unto them, what things? You know what's great about Jesus? He could have said, I already know everything. He said, no, tell me in your own words. You ever wonder why we pray? He already knows what we're going to ask for. He already knows. Why tell him? He likes to hear us put it in our own words. And so Jesus is doing most of the listening. Isn't it amazing? When we pray, the God of the universe stops and listens. He listens to sinners saved by grace. Why would he do it? He loves us. You're sad. Tell me about it. Well, you hadn't heard? No, tell me. God knows what's going on, but notice what he says. What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, have crucified him. And we trusted it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. See that? We really thought he was going to be the next king. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, and women, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. They found not his body. They came saying that he had seen a vision of angels and that he was alive. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. So they just poured out their heart. So here's what Jesus says, O fools and slow of heart, slow. He said, you're getting there, but you're slow. You're getting there. Come on now. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, to enter into his glory, suffering, then the glory, cross, then the empty tomb, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isn't that something? What did Jesus do? He quoted scriptures and explained the scriptures. Let me just encourage you. One, we need worship. Second, during sad times in our life, we need the word. So what has Jesus given them? Not some pop jargon, not some philosophy. He's saying, let me quote you the scriptures in the Old Testament. Let me explain these scriptures. Let me open these scriptures. And that's what we need. We need God's word. Let me encourage you. Sad times, more word. Bad times, more word. Just getting back close to the Lord, more the word of God. Consume the word of God. That's what you want. And I loved what it says. And as they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he, you'll only see this once in scripture, he made as though he would have gone further. Jesus acted. That's a strange thing, huh? He acted. You said, what do you mean? He made as though, they said, all right, we're going to stop for supper. You want to eat supper with us? He goes, no. They said, come on, yeah. He goes, no, I can't. Yeah, please leave. Okay. He wanted to eat with them. He wanted to fellowship with them, but he acted like, no, man, I got to keep going. He made as though he had to keep going. He wanted to encourage these people. By the way, the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you, if you're a child of God, wants to encourage you on your journey. And he encourages you by his word. Notice what it says, verse 30, verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. It is toward evening. Day is far spent. This is Sunday night. He went in to tarry with them. Came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Watch my hands. You ready? He gave to them. You know what they saw in his hands? They saw the nail prints in his hands. The bread of life was breaking the bread for God's people. Verse 31, and their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Whew, he was gone. That's an amazing story. And know what it says, verse 32. And they said one to another, oh, I love it. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, they said our hearts were warming up and burning and catching on fire as he opened God's word. Heavenly heartburn. There you go. This book here, it'll warm up a cold heart. There's going to be times where you're going to say, I don't care about church. I don't care about the Bible. I don't care about ministry. I don't care about souls. I don't care about anything. But this word, it warms your heart up and it'll put a fire back into what ought to be on fire for the Lord. So we see one appearance. It was to Mary. Worship, the lesson. The second appearance were to these disciples on the road to Emmaus. And it was the word. It warmed their heart. The third appearance quickly is John chapter number 21. John chapter 21, if you have it. Oh, we're out of time. John 21, I'll give you it in condensed, but here it is. John 21. And notice what he says. And of course, this is after the resurrection. Simon Peter, the lead disciple, has cursed. He's denied that he knows the Lord three times. The roosters crow. He feels like a flop and a failure. Let me find out. You ever, maybe at some time deny that you knew the Lord? I have. You ever been in a restaurant? You order the meal and something says, you know, you ought to pray and give thanks. And then you start looking around. And it's like, thank you, Lord. Okay. Here's Simon Peter. I denied him. I cursed. I said I don't even know him. That rooster crowed. Simon Peter wept. Felt like a flop. 3.5 years Jesus trained him. I have preached sermons. I've done miracles. But I'm not good at this. He quit. He quit serving God. He quit the ministry. Chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, doubting Thomas, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee. You know, it's kind of interesting. So Simon Peter's backslidden. Thomas is the doubter. Nathaniel's the one that said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You got three negative people hanging together. Look at that. They just kind of attracted each other. And the sons of Zebedee is James and John with the tempers and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. He wasn't talking about recreational, catch fish, eat fish, have a little fun, take a break. He was saying, I'm going back to my old job. I'm leaving this ministry stuff. They say unto him, we also go with thee. He quit, so the other ones quit. Be careful what you say publicly. Be careful what you say in front of your kids. Be careful what you say in front of a new convert. Somebody's listening. You're influencing somebody. One domino falls and a multitude fall. Simon Peter, I'm done. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, the resurrected Savior. But the disciples, look at this, knew not that it was Jesus. Maybe he was so far away, they didn't have their binoculars and couldn't see who it was. They knew it was a man on the seashore, but they couldn't tell who it was. Then Jesus said unto them, notice again, he asked a question. Children, have you any meat? Modern vernacular, hey, y'all catching anything? Are the fish biting? How would you say it, some of you people? What do you say to someone that's fishing? What are you saying? Don't kill the fish, save Mother Earth, or what? What? Come on. Catch anything? Is that okay, all right, well, good. Just want to make sure it's safe to say that. Verse 6, and they said unto him, and they answered him, verse 5, no. And he said, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked. He didn't have his outward garment on. He was in his shorts and t-shirt, which was considered naked back then. And he cast himself into the sea. So Jesus cast it on the other side. When they did, the net was full. So what was the lesson here? Work, work. Jesus said, get back to work. I'm risen. Worship me. The word, get your heart warm. Work, get a net, cast it in. There's fish everywhere. We saw that last week. We saw it this week. There's people everywhere that need to be caught for Jesus Christ. Work. And we need him to help us. And then last, Acts chapter 9, we see here, there's a question asked. You say, Acts, I thought the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the resurrection's over. Well, here it is, Acts chapter 9, the resurrected Savior. Verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, desired to him letters of Damascus to the synagogues that if he found any of this way, that's what they called the Christians, this way, the way. Jesus said, I am the way. For a long time, they said, oh, you're of the way. What a great word for a Christian. Whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul's got these arrest warrants. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined about round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, again, a question. Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But Saul didn't recognize him. There was a light. He heard a voice, but notice what he says. Who art thou? Then he came to the conclusion himself, Lord. So at first, he couldn't tell who it was, but then he knew it was Jesus. And what's he want us to do? Witness. There's some more Saul of Tarsus that need to be reached, but only the resurrected Savior could do that. I don't know why Jesus chose to be disguised and not to be recognized right away by these four groups. Maybe it's he wanted them to hear what he said more than what he looked like. But that same Savior wants to meet with us this week. And I hope that we'll serve him with all of our heart.